we want to get now into the conversation of our Middle East News Update with David Dolan, longtime journalist in Jerusalem, serving for over 30 years in that region of the world, and is on top of what is happening even today as he watches ongoing activities that help us to better understand how it's going to be in the end times, current events setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. David, the number one headline in Israel has to be Hamas and Fatah and a unity agreement. Now, I know they've been working on this for a number of years. Do you think it's real, and what effect is it going to have?
Well, Jimmy, I don't think it's probably going to be a very fruitful alliance, let's put it that way. It is real in the sense that both sides saw this as the way to increase the pressure on Israel greatly as the demon, as it were, in this whole situation. Israel's the one that leaves the peace talks instead of the Palestinians. Well, that's true, but it's also true that the Palestinians did several highly provocative things. The one thing, of course, that we've discussed, applying to these 13 UN bodies, agencies, for full statehood membership, which they were granted, a violation of their agreement not to do so while talks were in progress. And then, of course, the peace pact with Hamas. Jimmy, you've mentioned several times, I was the first Western journalist in my first book in 1991 to spell out in detail Hamas's agenda, their founding charter. I took 7 or 8 pages on it. I was criticized at the time that I'm, you know, looking at a small organization that isn't going to amount to much, but of course they amounted to quite a lot, won the Palestinian elections in 2006, and then staged their coup against the PA in the Gaza Strip in June 2007, and this deep rivalry between the two main Palestinian political factions has been there ever since. So it was always there even before, but it's been very bitter since then. So there's a lot of stuff there to deal with, and whether it can hold together or not depends, I suppose, on the personalities. How badly does Abbas want it? Does he really want it? Does Ismail Haniyeh and the other Hamas leaders, are they willing to bend some in some of their positions? But for Israel, as Prime Minister Netanyahu and other government ministers have made clear the last couple of days, this is a non-starter completely, because Hamas would have to change its founding charter, calling for Israel's total destruction, and, of course, change its current rhetoric, which echoes the same thing, and obviously stop the firing of rockets from the Gaza Strip and terror attacks and other things that have been going on now for years. That all of that's going to happen is very doubtful to me, but it certainly has brought an end for now to these peace negotiations, and as I've pointed out on this program many times, negotiations that really neither the Palestinians nor the Israelis really wanted, but were imposed upon them from the Obama administration, from the new U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry last year, and it was pretty well expected they would lead to nothing, and the fear in Israel all along was that if they failed, there would be a new round of violence. Well, this alliance between Hamas and Fatah does imply a new round of violence. Maybe that the PLO has decided on a new uprising even. That's the fear that the Israelis have. There's some indications over the past few days and weeks that that may be the case, as riot on the Temple Mount during Passover, shooting death of a top Israeli policeman near Hebron, and some other things. So we'll have to see about that. But very tense times. And once again, the United States went in to improve a situation, and it doesn't look like that's been the case at all. So it certainly doesn't help U.S. standing and authority in the region.
David, you mentioned both Fatah, Hamas, and then you said the PLO. Is there a difference between these three organizations? And tell us, what actually is the PLO?
Well, the PLO is the founding branch organization, the Palestine Liberation Organization, that had under its wing, oh, I can't even remember now, but at least 7 or 8 major factions in the Palestinian political scene, all the way from a Christian communist party, believe it or not. This is the Greek Orthodox Palestinians mostly, many of whom were voting communists. That's the left-wing element, all the way to Muslim fundamentalists and everything in between, but mostly made up of fairly secular Muslims, but fairly westernized Muslims at its leadership base. But it, of course, in its founding charter, called for Israel's total destruction, fought for that for many years. Finally, in 1988, the late PLO leader Arafat, Yasser Arafat, changed that, and the Oslo Accords were signed in 93. Well, Hamas was founded in 88, the Islamic Resistance Movement is its formal name. And, oh, and just to say that Fatah is Arafat's faction in the PLO. It always was the main one, the largest one, the dominant one, and still remains that today. And really, the PLO more or less has disappeared with the advent of the Palestinian Authority. It was translated, as it were, into the Palestinian Authority, and then different factions, Palestinian factions, could join the PA government. And that has happened to some extent. But when Hamas won the elections in 2006, it proceeded to throw its weight all over the place and to really ignore Fatah. And the PLO leaders were not used to that. They've run the show exclusively for many, many decades. And so that started the rivalry. And then when Hamas violently took over Gaza, killing many Fatah fighters in the process, PA security forces is what they were officially, then it became a deep and some thought unrepairable breach, which may well still be the case, and we'll find that out in the coming months. But at least for now, they're announcing this, and it seems to be welcomed by the Palestinian people, even though it may mean a resurgence or a renewal of pretty substantial violence. And we hope that isn't the case, but that could well be the case.
David, a number of questions about this unity agreement. The United States, European Union, Russia all recognize Hamas as a terrorist organization. Fatah has been known to be more moderate. Are they as equal in terroristic activities and philosophy as Hamas? And if not, how can they even come together?
Well, officially they're not. Officially, again, they abandoned the founding charter, the PLO founding charter, and made a peace accord with Israel in 93 and followed that up with some other things. Israel still works with the PA, which is the Fatah, basically, transfers funds, money that they collect. Their security forces work together to a certain extent. Yet, there remains amongst various Fatah leaders, Marwan Barghouti comes to mind in particular, and there's one or two others, very prominent, that continue to call for warfare against Israel, that say the peace process failed, let's just bury it, and let's revert back to full-scale violence. So Hamas's position has support, active support, amongst a number of Fatah leaders, but officially, Mahmoud Abbas, the PA president, and other top PA leaders are still working with Israel and planning, not planning a new war, this sort of thing. But again, right there out on the street, Jimmy, is where the rubber meets the road. And there's a lot of hatred for Israel amongst Palestinians, and it can be tapped into pretty easily. And Yasser Arafat did that, breaking the Oslo treaties in 2000 and basically endorsing what was a Hamas-led uprising, basically joining in for several years. And as you recall, PA security forces even turned their guns on Israeli soldiers on a number of occasions. So that could happen again, and nothing's beyond the realm of possibility here, and the Israelis watching that very closely.
But at the same time, David, Prime Minister Netanyahu making this statement, he's going to keep the door open for future peace talks. Is that at all a possibility?
Well, he's going to keep the door open every Passover for Elijah to show up also. And you know, the Jews believe one Passover he will return, and somebody's Passover meal is going to be graced by his presence, so they leave an empty chair for him. So you leave the door open, but you don't necessarily expect anyone to walk in. And in this case, again, Netanyahu never thought there was a chance, especially now with this war coming closer to Israel's northern border, fighting right along the border, with Lebanon in disarray, with Egypt in chaos, with Iraq disintegrating again, and Iran building nuclear something and negotiating, but on, and then, of course, not to mention the growing East-West crisis not far away in Ukraine. And there's a lot of Ukrainian Jews living in Israel, by the way, Jimmy, and it poses a bit of a extra reason for Israelis to watch that very closely. With all that going on, he never felt there was a chance for peace. And neither did the PA leadership. The Obama administration, John Kerry, wanted to try it, wanted to make it one of his main focal points. And in the meantime, all this other stuff has just festered. And President Obama said on Friday in Japan, well, maybe it's time for a pause in the talks. Well, the Israelis might have said, well, maybe there was no reason to get them going in the first place. But certainly now the pause is here, and that will remain in effect for some time, I'm sure.
David Dolan with our Middle East News Update, longtime journalist in that region of the world, and has great insight into the current events of those activities unfolding even today. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.